So, what am I talking about tonight? Tonight's Vod, in Hebrew, I decided to call it the Yesod of Aliyah. Really, the foundations of growth. It sounds like an important, broad, perhaps, topic. I'm not sure yet what I'll call this in English. Shmuel Chaim, you'll give me a few hours until we put it up there. But maybe I would call it, I have the right to change it, but the secret of growth, a 3D image. Sounds interesting, but really, I would like to base this Vod on the Ibn Ezra. I'll also quote a Ramban, but there's an Ibn Ezra in this week's Parsha, which is an absolute fundamental Ibn Ezra. I remember sitting in these spot giving in a Vod a few years ago in Ibn Ezra and Parshas Yisrael, the Saras Adibros. Hanan might be the only one here. He was probably in high school, but I don't know where Hanan is. You were there? You remember that one? I remember Eliezer K going after me. It was a geschmack. Pikus, Chetov, Zach, oh my gosh, yeah. Anyway, hope I'm listing off all the people by the wedding the other night. Zuck the Ibn Ezra. I'm sorry I don't have enough copies for everybody. Please share. I can make more copies after. Umachshavos Hashem omku umiyucha olamun besoda. Vuluvado nischa alilos. This is a famous quote that Ibn Ezra is saying. Who are we to figure out what Hashem's ways are based on? Who could come to the depth of them? And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to play the game of chess. Like, we don't know why Hashem does things. Of course, after giving that introduction, the Ibn Ezra tells you, I'll tell you, though, why Hashem does things. However, Ulai, he's not saying this as Vadai, but this, for our all purposes, this is a Vadai if it's spoken from the words of a Rishon named the Ibn Ezra. Ulai, Sivav Hashem zeh, shegidu Moshe l'beis ha-malchus. Great, great question. I was thinking about this one. I'll give you a mashal. I really wanted the chance to look this up beforehand because I'm not holding. There's probably somebody over here who might know the answer to my query. I don't know. Just give me 1 second. Okay. Giving a share actually on Sunday about Jewish names. So imagine there's a Bachar in Yeshiva, Mamish, which Chafetz Chaim branch is going to get this recruit. His name is Teddy. His English name is Theodore. But anyway, Teddy, Mamish, is sitting and steiging in Yeshiva. Mamish, one of the top Bachrim Yeshiva. You don't have to make up nicknames for him. Everyone knows Teddy. Teddy's mom is steiging away. The Masmid, the Baal Chesed, an Amkin, a Baki, a Baal Halacha, a Baal Musar, Baal Achrayas. Every mile you can think of, Teddy has. He's mom is steiging Yeshiva. The one funny aspect about Teddy's life is I'm not sure how he's able to live in the yeshiva dorm, especially when you see his bathrobe that, you know, has his name ingrained, you know, Teddy there. Now, most guys who have bathrobes like that, it says Hilton over there. But this guy, Teddy, actually, there's a big T there. Maybe it's not for Teddy. But the other night, we were in a place. They have a ballroom called, you know, the blank blank. Leave out the first names. Right? There, they named ballrooms after, you know, family. So I wonder, in the new version, would they have Teddy there? Can you imagine if Teddy Kushner would be the best kid in the yeshiva? Can you imagine if Teddy Kushner is able to be the next Rosh Yeshiva? Teddy Kushner, okay? I have no clue what his Hebrew name is. I'm sure he has one. But Rabbi Rucham. Rabbi Rucham Kushner. I just made it up. English name Teddy or Theodore. Imagine Yeruchim Kushner. Mamish, starkest guy, sitting there, steiging away, all to be the next Rosh Hashiva. You scratch yourself, you ask yourself a question. It's pretty funny, why in the world Hashem make it, that this kid grew up in the White House, or Mar-a-Lago, or any one of the other Trump estates. Both said, wouldn't that be the coolest thing? It would be very strange. Teddy Kushner to be the next Rosh Hashiva. Because Baruch Hu wants him to be Rosh Hashiva. Okay, why did he grow up in the White House? Rabosai, don't take any political statement in this, but Paro also had a grandson who grew up in his palace. His name wasn't Teddy. His name is Moshe. Of all the places in the world, you think it's... You compare those two. Moshe growing up in Paro's palace is weirder than Teddy growing up by the Zeta, not Paro, but Trump. Why did Hashem orchestrate such a thing that Moshe and Beno grew up in Paro's palace? That's not the classic Gadol story. It'll be a little bit strange. You know, I give him a bracha. We're talking about him tonight. This Teddy Kushner Shemamish become a Rosh Hashiva. Boy, that yeshiva will be doing well. But he should become a Rosh Hashiva. But wouldn't it be a little strange? Why is Teddy Kushner grew up in such a palace? Lahavdol Elif Avdolis. We would have a similar kasha. We should have a similar kasha. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu grow up in Paro's palace? Again, no political statement with that. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu the grandson of Paro? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu like set it up that way that he grew up in the palace? So this Ibn Ezra, again, we can't answer such questions. We don't know. But Ibn Ezra says, I know. Two reasons, perhaps. Reason number one, let's read inside. Ulai siva Hashem zeh sheyegdol Moshe b'beis ha-malchus. Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated that Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in Trump Tower, in the base of Malchus, Leos Navsho Madrega Halyona, the Derech Halimud Varagilas, Lotiash Fela Varagila, Leos Bevesa Vadim. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be the God of Adar. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Manik Adar. You have two options. You could have him grow up with the people in the ghetto, or you could have him grow up in the White House. Zok the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Borough Park or Trump Tower? It's better for him to be the leader to grow up in Trump Tower. Why? The answer is an important Slabodka Yisod called Galus Adam. There's an important feeling that needs to be inculcated in the person of greatness, of chashivas. If you feel like a nothing, you feel like a shuffle, you'll be a shuffle. That's a major, major Slabalki Yisod, which here's one Risha, and you can trace it back to us, Ibn Ezra. You want Moshe Rabbeinu, Leos Navsho Madrega Halyona. His nefesh, his spirit, should feel exalted. And the contrast, V'losia Shfela, V'logil Leos Beis Avodim, shouldn't feel like a slave. Shouldn't be downtrodden. Both said that's a very important step. The first, most basic yisod for growth, a person has to feel like a somebody. If you're down and depressed and feel that you're nothing, both said, unfortunately, that's not a recipe for success. You know, a guy who struggles to get up in the morning, a guy who looks at himself as a schlump, a guy who's not happy with his own self-image, that doesn't bode well for how he's going to succeed and work in yeshiva. If you think you're a schlump, if you think you're not matzliach, if you're depressed, obviously that's going to hold back a person from growth. In order for a person to grow, he has to feel a certain chashivas, especially grow to madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a maila for good old Teddy to be growing up where he is. I'll talk about Baron, but he's not Jewish. But Teddy, there's a maila because he'll feel chashav. And when you feel chashav, it can be in stones with gaiva and other things. But in general, when a person feels chashav, that spurs a person to growth, to accomplishment. While Masha Enkin, if a person feels nefesh fela, feels like he belongs in the ghetto with the peasants, base of adam, a schnurr, that's not good. How could you grow to greatness if you feel like a schlump, like a schnurr? I don't want to get involved with all, Slabodka dress, but that was one of the ideas in Slabodka dressing well. The idea of dressing well is you should feel chashav. It's not, the issue isn't, there's a mitzvah to wear a colored shirt. Got it wrong. The mitzvah is to feel chashav. It's to dress well. It's to feel a certain chashivas. That's all part, and love dafka just in dress, the way you carry yourself, the way your dorm room looks, the way the bathroom in the dorm looks. Well, all your surroundings, if you feel that you're in a cesspool, if you're in a horse stable, Rabosai, you have to adhere these steps. If every day guys are throwing paper into the toilet or just not being careful when they line it, their toilet seat, 10 things, and then the toilet's getting stuffed every day, you realize you're dragging down the whole yeshiva. Besides flushing lots of money down the toilet, literally. But the pshat is, The pshat is that people have to realize and know that there has to be a positive image of themselves, certain chashivas. But if you feel like you're in a ghetto, you feel that you're low down, you're shuffle, you're a schlump. Right, there's a mile of a person to take care of his health, to look good, to look put together, to eat well, to sleep well. The more that a person just a put together person, that's Hashem. That's a mile of first. That's the first you sow to greatness. First you sow to growth. But if a person chas v'shalom is unkept, is unhealthy, can't have a normal sleeping pattern, that's not good. So hopefully this will help straighten up the dorm, but more importantly, straighten up people's lives and their self-image. A person needs a positive self-image for growth. So much so, it was kedai. Don't you think it would have been better for Moshe Rabbeinu to grow up amongst the Yidden? Don't you think the better place for Teddy to grow up is in Lakewood and Borough Park or North Miami Beach and not in Mar-a-Lago? Probably not the best environment. I don't think Parah's palace was any more tsunua. It wasn't. So why did Kodesh Baruch Hu set up Moshe Rabbeinu to grow up in Parah's palace? Isn't environment everything? Midos are everything. Environment something. Of course, the potential he had a bad effect on Moshe Rabbeinu. But when you weigh it, the Ibn Ezra says, you've offset it with the growth that Moshe Rabbeinu could have from chashivos, from galus ha'adam. That's worth it. An amazing chiddush from the Ibn Ezra. But that's just one pshat in the Ibn Ezra. He says a second pshat. Ibn Ezra writes another pshat here. He actually goes and proves first this pshat, the fact that he killed the Mitzri, and he saved Benos Midyan, and he attributes those actions, only actions done by somebody who feels like a gavra, not somebody who's a shlom. Okay, we can talk about those rayas. For Ud, Davarach, last line. Ki ilu ha'yigadol ben achiv. If Moshe Rabbeinu had grown up in the ghetto with everybody else, v'yakira minurov, and everyone recognized him, oh yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, from the time he was young, lo yirei mimenu, they wouldn't fear him. Ki yachshavu ke'ech mehem. He'd view them like one of them. I remember a story. I was walking the streets of Miami Beach some 20 years ago. I think actually the story took place. We Baruch Hashem, had the schus to visit Reb Zelig Epstein, Zatzal, Chashav Rashiv of Shar Torah, grandson of Reb Shimon. And we're walking back from the apartment he was staying at to Yeshiva on 71st and Indian Creek Drive. And he ran to some old man and asked us, "Oh, Yeshiva Bachim, where are you from?" Yes, I answer, "I'm from Chofetz Chaim." "Chofetz Chaim?" He's like, "Who's Rosh Yeshiva over there?" I'm like, "Reb Henoch Leibowitz." "Oh, Henochel!" He was a two-sewer guy. Excuse me? Right? Many people have heard me tell over this story. Like, Henoch Leibowitz was one of the Gedolei Hador. At that point, mid-80s. And you tell me, excuse me, he's a two-sewer guy? What's a two-sewer guy? I remember when we were kids, back in the day, we used to play stickball on the streets of New York. They didn't have baseball fields. No baseball fields in New York. They played stickball. They take a broomstick and some ball, and then play in the streets of New York. And similar, I guess, to baseball. I don't know all the rules. But they measured how far a guy hit a ball by counting the sewers. So Henoch was able to, as chash of a thing, I assume one or two sewers a block. But a two sewer guy means you can mamash hit the ball the length of the block. Moshe Rubin, watch out. Reb Henoch was a two sewer guy. I'm like, this is the picture you have of Reb Henoch Leibowitz, one of the greatest Rosh Yeshivas today. He's a two sewer guy. Oh, yeah, and what about that Lefty Scheinberg? Okay, well, I'll save that for a different day. But the pshat is, that's whatever, you know, I think the person had some degree of respect for the Yeshiva. But you know what? His respect could never equal my respect. Because he viewed him, he knew him as a kid. He was one of the boys! If he's one of the boys, I can't have full respect. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to grow up outside, in the palace, outside of the ghetto. Had Moshe Rabbeinu grown up with the other Jews in Mitzrayim, I'm going to blow up the shmooze in a minute, don't worry. If Moshe Rabbeinu had grown up with them, they wouldn't respect him. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. He went up to Shemayim, was Mekabel the Torah. He actually didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. You know that? He reached the 49th level of Chachma. You can't respect that man. He was Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Bosai, I don't think this is necessarily a fault of these people. I remember reading this Ibn Ezra at different times. Like, we're not talking about a guy who's a grubba bala boss, doesn't have a Das Torah perspective. No, we're talking about fine, wonderful Yidden. But this is a natural block. People could only view things. If you grew up with somebody, you view him a certain way. You can't be machsh of him the same way. I'll give you a marshal. Actually, I like to call it a sociological experiment. So I pulled something off today, which proved this Ibn Ezra. What did I do? Well, we were a little shorthanded here in the Beis Medrash with people to give Musar today. So I decided, while I asked some of the Chashuva branchers, they're not going to give it as a Rebbe. I didn't announce their names, the ones giving it. But it'll be something that, you know, it's Kedai. Nobody was here for Musar. I was a Chiddush Nifl. I found the Reb Palgan. I pulled him out of a meeting and got him to come. Great. But Lubin wasn't here. Rigida wasn't here. I just gave like four straight things. I was like about to collapse. So I figured, okay, Baruch Hashem, I got a couple branchers to do it. The comments, really? Go to him? Now please, don't take it personal. It's an Ibn Ezra. Guys, and really forget the fact I'm talking about this, hopefully rectify the situation. But guys, it's hard to respect another guy in yeshiva if he's quote-unquote a peer. He's going to be Rosh Yeshiva one day. You know, that roommate of yours, you just like slapped and did this and that. He's a Rosh Hashiva. Beit Hashem, you should be too. Star Marbitz Torah. This, that. Okay. But when it's a peer, on the one hand, it's cool. You could always say, huh, I knew him in yeshiva. But me'ilak yisa, what's also cool about it, naturally, it's hard for a person to have the same respect. People have in their minds, you know, I hope it doesn't work the other way too. I see him, oh, he's going to be a millionaire. Oh, I better get to know him. Baruch Hashem. In this yeshiva, I think that doesn't happen. At least the respect side of it. You'll become a millionaire, kol hakavod. But, but you shouldn't get any respect for it. Oh, Torah, that's where we put on the totem pole. But Rabosai, this Ibn Ezra is teaching us, this is human nature. Human nature is when I see another person who's my peer, I can't, not because of bad midos, per se. I can't foresee him. He's the Manah Gador, Moshe Rabbeinu, Reb Henoch, the two sewer guy? No, really? Really? Him? He's your Rebbe? Oh. But the pshat is, they have to get past it, but Rabosai, you have to get past it. And this is the second dimension that a person needs for growth. In order to have growth, a person has to realize, a person has to know, the image your friends have of you should not be the image which defines you. Don't let somebody else define who you are. If we leave it up, well, my friend thinks, my friend's never going to see me as a Rosh Hashiva. My friend's never going to see me as a Talmud Chacham. He's never going to see me as a Kol guy. I'll get even further. Really, when a person's in yeshiva, the whole essence of yeshiva is growth. Growth. And growth is on so many different madrigas. Okay? Let's start off with small things, which are not so significant. Let's say I have a guy, I don't really daven with a hat. Or maybe I only daven with a hat when I daven in yeshiva minyan, but not if I daven with some high school minyan, even though all the high school guys have to wear it, but I just sneak it in without a hat, hat and jacket. Let's say that's your image of yourself. Or, okay, I could do it here, but I go to Hollywood for Shabbos. I don't know. I wear a tie in yeshiva, outside of yeshiva, I don't know. I'm not that guy. There are all these like images we have of ourselves. Okay. But to grow, you have to get out of it. Well, but that's the way my friends view me. Okay, I have to tell you something. You could be the Gadol HaDor, they still won't give you the same respect because you're a peer. So if you just limit yourself to how other people view you, it's a losing proposition. Just like if you limit yourself to shiftless, it's also a limiting proposition. If a person wants to grow, he has to be able to get out of it. Okay, so my friends might think, you know, it's a little strange, I wear a hat now. Remember one of my Hollywood Shabbaton. I think I can say who it is. It's a beautiful Shabbat. Dear friend of mine, Josh Levine, big Chashev Ben Torah, member of the Hollywood community, told me he was in WITS for a few years already in high school. And he came back. You know, he didn't wear a hat. On Shabbosim, because nobody, where's it going? Nobody in young Israel wore a hat. Not even, okay. Nobody wore a hat. And like, I can't come back. I'm going to be the one to wear a hat. Until slowly, he said, by 12th grade, he realized it's the right thing to do, and he did it. Now, you know, you have to understand, look, at the same time, when you decide to put on the hat, you don't look down on all the people who don't wear a hat. Yesterday, I respected my father, my neighbor, my this, my that. Today, I'm wearing the hat. No, I'm not saying that. That's not a good idea either. Look, everyone's coming from different perspectives. Can't judge other people, but you yourself. If you think this is the right thing to do, do it. Either they're going to look at me strange. Can I tell you something? They're always going to look at you strange. Your friend will never accept so fully my friend, the Rosh Yeshiva. To be honest, they'll accept it at some point. and they'll get a lot of pride in it. But on some level, you don't think people would have pride in Moshe Rabbeinu being the leader? On some level. But on some level, they couldn't respect him. It goes both ways. That's idea number two. And finally, I think that this second idea, I can't overemphasize it. It's so important. We look at our peers for judgment and who we are. And the second dimension is you have to be able to see beyond your friends' definitions of yourself. Number one is you have to see beyond, quote unquote, your life of shiflutz, your wimpy bed in the dorm. You have to see beyond your, what's it called, your friend's perspective that, come on, you're a rabbi? Come on, really? You learn after Seder? No. Come on, you're not that guy. You have to do that. I see with 12th graders. I can't perceive myself as coming to this base medrash. I can't see myself learning in any strong base medrash. That's a psychological barrier they have to get past. If they don't get past that, we know what could happen, or we know what doesn't happen. It's sad. But that's part of life. Part of life is getting past these images of what other people think of you. And the third part, and this, I dare say, was something that even Moshe Rabbeinu suffered from. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they have a debate for quite some time about... They have a debate for quite some time about Moshe Rabbeinu taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu pushes off for this reason, that reason. After Hashem eases out everything, I proved to you that I'm Hashem, and you have Osos Mosim, Vayomer Moshe Al Hashem, Bi Adoni, Well Ish Dvar Menochi, Gam Etmol, Gam Shulsham, Gam Yal Dvarti Al Avdecha, Ki Chved Peh, Chved Lachanani. After the other excuses, Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, Hashem, I know you're choosing me as the best man for the job. I can't do it. You know why? Can't speak. I'm not that guy. Gam etmol, gam yisholshom. When I was a kid, I'm 70 years old. I can't do this. I don't have the ability. And the Ramban over here is bothered by the fact, okay, Grand Moshe Rabbeinu had a fault, and it wasn't an imaginary fault. It existed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's making these like crazy miracles for you to prove to Bnei Yisrael, don't you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu could fix your speech too? HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended up not fixing his speech. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't ask for it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have this problem. He never was mispal for Hashem to fix it. So Rabban says, oh, you don't want to spal for me to fix it? I'm not going to fix it. All thing I'm going to do is I'm going to send the iron with you. I'll alleviate your problem that way. But it sounds like from the Ramban, there was some tiny Moshe Rabbeinu that he wasn't mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fix it. Why not? So it's not clear. It could be, look at the Lashon of the Ramban again. It could be because there was some negiah not to go, and that's what motivated him. But probably even more pashut is because he didn't foresee himself that way. Gam etmol, gam yisholshom. This is who I am. Rabbi, I've been this way my whole life. You want me to change? I can't change. The third dimension doesn't matter. Shiflos, chashivos, doesn't matter what your friends say. What really matters is for you to foresee something. So many times, growth, you got past, you feel chashivos, you got past shiflos. It doesn't bother you what people say about you. But you just can't see yourself as being able to do that. I can't see myself as sitting through an entire Seder. I can't see myself as a guy who takes notes on share. Can't see myself the guy hawking a Rebbe. I can't see myself as a guy asking my personal shalos to a Rebbe. I can't see myself as being a guy who asks personal shalos. I can't see myself doing 10,000 different things. I can't this, I can't that. Who told you? That little voice in my head. Okay. But maybe that voice got it wrong. No, gam etmol, gam yisholshom. I never was good at this. But that, too, is a mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make anything happen. A person has to have the ability to see beyond his own image of himself. Maybe I could become better. Maybe I could do something like that. No. Ever since I'm a little kid, my parents told me this is what I'm going to be in life. Okay. But maybe I could be different. This third one, in some ways, is probably the most important. A person has to be able to see himself, not just Ba'asher Husham, where you are right now. Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem now. He really had a lisp. He can't speak. I had one too when I was a kid. Lots of people have. Right? Ask me when I was a kid, and sitting there, you know, I remember going to speech therapy as a little kid. Do you ever think you'd be giving like 5 shiurim a day, speaking of this? You know, like, I don't know. Well, that sounds a little weird. I like playing baseball. I have to talk for that. But you foresee yourself as that? Nah. I don't think I'll be doing a job like that. But you know what? Things change in life. Get siyat d'shmaya. Is that something you want to do? Once it's something you want to do, you can put your heart to it. The sky's the limit. So Rabosai, I think these three dimensions. Number one, just a general chashiva, the first heritage of the Ibn Ezra. To see yourself, that you have this ability to feel chashiv, and it's important. Yourself, not just the clothes you wear, the way you keep yourself, but even your environment. You make your bed, the dorm around you, to whatever degree you can control it, looks key, looks chashev. Okay? You feel a certain chashivas, great. Next step, you have friends. Friends are going to look at you a certain way. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu could have been the biggest tzaddik in the world. His friends would still look at him, I grew up with him. He's just Moshe. Really? But you know what? You have to get over that. He wasn't just Moshe. He wasn't just two sewer guy. And he's not just Leiter, Sibsner, or Rubin.
Or Big Cheese.
You have to know who they are. Chashuv people. And finally, the biggest image you have to get over is the image you paint for yourself. Gam etmol, gam yishalshel. Moshe Rabbeinu. This is who I am. I've always been that. Okay? You don't think it could change? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to you to take the B'nai Yisrael Mitzrayim. You could do it. Be'ez HaShem, if we keep these ideas in mind, we'll be open and ready for growth. And little by little, step by step, growth doesn't happen overnight. You don't become a Talmud Chacham overnight. You don't become a Baal Musar overnight. But little by little, step by step, you could change it. You could become different. And don't let your environment, your friends, or definitely yourself tell you otherwise.